Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. We're going to continue with part two of yesterday's topic, which was called Planetary Karma. We're going to take a look at what triggers karma, or what teases us in life, what creates choices. And we're going to discuss the moving planets in the sky in relationship to the fixed, frozen planets in your birth chart. So today's show is called Transit Karma. Welcome to the Astrology Hour. I'm pretty excited about this topic because this topic is really what it's all about when we talk about blowing it or making mistakes in life, incurring karma, sort of the left side of the chart, whenever you do things that hold you on Earth. Fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know anyone in the hospital now, fortunately, and I don't know anybody in a convalescent home, because whenever I go to convalescent homes or hospitals, I see people that are lingering there in such pain, one wonders what they're doing there. Oftentimes, I firmly believe that if you really do what you're meant to do in life and you do absolve your karma, then oftentimes when it comes time for you to end your life cycle, you won't spend it suffering in some hospital or some convalescent home. In fact, most of the people I know and love and have spent time with in my life have had pretty mellow, gentle passings. I'd say the majority of them, sometimes quick or sudden or quite uneventful, which I think is a blessing. I really think that when you go in your sleep or when you go with a quick cardiac or when you go with like a flash, that it really says something for your life and for your spirit that you did work out your karma. So it's just time for you to leave the shell and go on with your growth patterns. So what happens in life is that we are born with a particular set of karmic circuits that are literally injected into our very cosmic cell circuits, beyond DNA, I call this, because this is something that I frankly feel is unexaminable unless you understand astrology to understand how it works, right? But when you are born into this dimension on this planet Earth, and you literally jump into that body, that final signature, when the eyes open and the baby starts the breathing cycle, that is the original initial karmic effect. And where the planets are located, if you listen to yesterday's show, will definitely create a signature pattern of karma as far as how that individual soul will react in a body that is so charged by the planets frozen in space, which have a tremendous significant effect on how that body and therefore that being will react and the choices that will be manifested during a particular life cycle. Now, one wonders how these choices are triggered, or one wonders what, as long as we're down here, not only are we down here to grow and evolve and work off karma and learn to hopefully have a spiritual priority in life, but we are also constantly being teased and challenged by what we call the pull or the obsession of this dimension. It's like the difference between light and dark. It's like the light is what is beyond this realm in higher levels, and the dark would be what happens when you're on Earth and you turn off the light. Okay? And that's why Earth symbolism with sunrise and sunset and all planets in this universe that are in a star system, of course, have a symbolism of light and dark, sunlight and nighttime, because the symbolism is the light of the spirit and the darkness of negativity or obsession or desire. Now, what actually triggers this obsession or this desire are events that lead up into our life where we can make mistakes and do negative things or become obsessed or become selfish, or actually be guided away from the spirit because of our addictions, whatever they may be, have a lot to do with the moving planets in the sky called the transiting planets. Now, every day, I give the news at around 12 noon on KFOX. The only time you'll hear it on KFOX, maybe the only time you'll hear it anywhere in Southern California every day, the Daily Ephemeris. Okay, so what happens is you have this signature circuit that we call the natal chart, or the astroscope when you're born. Now, what happens is because each and every one of your cells is imprinted with like a miniature circuit of the universe, of the entire universe and each and every one of its cells, it's like you are walking around with planets and stars and galaxies in each and every one of your cells. The philosophy, as above, so below. Metaphysically, we believe that the individual is the center of the universe and reflects the God force from within. In other words, God is within the individual. That's where the power is. So, in this dimension, there is an illusion that is created called the illusion of separation, where we all think we are separate, but in truth, we are one. We are whole. But in order to gain this illusion of separation, we need some kind of system or function that will design the separation, and that's where the planets and the stars and the sun and the moon come in. Because this entire dimension is like a huge engine, and the planets and the stars, the sun and the moon are like pistons, depending where they're moving or where they stop, is part of the formula as to how uniqueness is designed in this illusion of separation. Hope that's clear. This is a very advanced metaphysical topic. So if you're a new listener, good luck. I know you'll make it if you're recording the show. So what happens is that the moving planets in the sky literally trigger or set off the frozen planetary systems in our cells from our birth. When this circuit is charged by this electrical effect that is very powerful, then things happen in our life. It's not an accident that you decide to get up and get in the car and go eat. Or it's not an accident that you decide to get up and go out looking for love. Or this is the day you decide to go looking for a career. Literally, when planets reach certain positions in the sky, in your chart, in your little universes, in your body, right, they trigger certain life effects in the 12 houses of life in your body that will impel you, sometimes compel you, to be in certain situations where you may possibly be teased and or challenged to take on certain obsessions or certain responsibilities that can once again lead you away from the spirit. This movie, The Last Temptation of Christ, was an extremely controversial film because a lot of the fundamentalist Christians didn't like the fact that Jesus might have been teased by sex or by Mary Magdalene wanting his body, and it's up in the air as far as whether they ever did have a communion. A lot of people prefer to think that Jesus Christ was a virgin from birth to death, whereas many others believe he was human, he was a man, and he was susceptible to the passions and the frustrations of any other man. So it's very possible that maybe he and Mary Magdalene did do something, right, intimate, and there was a cover-up because the church didn't want this word to be let out, right? But I want you to notice the symbolism here. See, the symbolism is this man reflecting the Son of God energy, not really reflecting the priority of the Spirit in case he would be teased or susceptible or challenged by a female body or the desire of love, sex, intimacy, or even relationships. See what I mean? So when we take a look at the transit karma, it's very important for you to know that yesterday when I talked about your natal squares and your natal oppositions and your natal inconjuncts as identifying the karma you bring with you from past lives, that's important point number one. But important point number two for today's topic means that, hey, you could have planets in your chart, right? The sun, the moon, the rising sign, and the eight planets besides the earth with their aspects on them, natally speaking, but every day, the moon, the sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto in the sky are moving and setting up new aspects to your chart. So every one of us really has a total of, well, your 11 factors in your natal chart, right? Sun, moon, rising, and the eight planets besides the earth. And then the sun, moon, rising, and the eight planets besides the earth in the sky that are constantly moving as we speak. And those are the transits that I give out every day at 12 noon. So what happens is we must add these planets in the sky to the planets in our chart and check to see if we're having any new squares or oppositions coming in. And then we know what is being dangled in front of our faces. Is that clear? So let's say that you are a man, for example, and you have Venus in Leo right now. Well, with Venus in Aquarius, and with Mars in Taurus, and with Pluto in Scorpio, as we speak, you're having what's called a grand square and a grand cross on your Venus in Leo. Or let's say you have a woman with Mars in Leo. So obviously, you may be in the middle of a karmic vortex. See, the way we analyze when it's karma time, and usually when it's karma time means that you're being shown something, that you are the student and the universe is the teacher. And you are literally being shown that there is something wrong, that there is an imbalance that there may be an obsession or a desire that is not spiritually just. So when your chart is triggered by this type of example, for example, any of you, like myself, right, here I am with four planets in Leo, and with Venus and Aquarius, oppose them on one end, Pluto in Scorpio, square them on the other, and Mars in Taurus, quadruple grand square all of them on the other side. Obviously, I wasn't in too good of a mood yesterday, and it's all focused on my 10th house, which is career, and my 11th house, which is goals, from the Leo planetary locations. See? So you can literally figure out your lives by understanding, if you get to the point, right, where you become knowledgeable enough, and using our transit forecasts, which literally lay out for you, step by step, where the planets go, the aspects that are set up, the new ones, and what they basically mean. And by learning this, you'll understand why you go through what you do. At this point, I can follow my transits if I want. But if I'm in pain or if I have a problem, then I know I'm in karma time. I'm in that karmic vortex. So if I really want to know what's going on, I'll look at my chart and I'll go, oh, I'm showing a little problem here in career, right? But at the same time, what else is going on in Farley's chart? Well, I'm having exact Uranus in Capricorn as opposed to my Venus in Cancer, which is not such a swift aspect. And Saturn in Capricorn is square my Neptune in Libra. So overall, my chart's in a pretty, what we call garbage state or chart on fire, which means if I was obsessed and selfish and didn't have a spiritual priority, I'd be in a lot of pain right now. But I'm not in a lot of pain because I retain a spiritual priority. It is something that is understood. It is a mindset that I carry with me. In the old days, I would have quit my job already. I'd be in a big hassle with my family. I'd be totally in a major upset with relationships. I'd also be having a problem with my own self-esteem. And I might even be in a total self-destructive escapist mode. Well, I'm getting along fine with my family because I understand the transits. As you can see, I'm at work today. It's not a tape. I'm not quitting. And obviously, I don't have any relationships, so there's no problem there, right? And my self-esteem is fine. See? So by understanding the transit effect and the transit karma, and by understanding the type of situation you could hypothetically go through, depending on what the planets in the sky are triggering in our charts, we understand how we can become victims of ourselves, being set up in certain soap opera situations that could make us depressed, make us obsessed, make us selfish. And I know a lot of people right now that refuse to let go. They're so intertwined in their lost love. They're so intertwined in their lost job. They just have to sit with it. It's like sitting with a dead body. Instead of burying it or cremating it or sending it off into the light or whatever, they're going through a karma, they're going through a transit, and you know the kind of people I'm talking about, and they just like to dwell on the tragedy and the horror and the depression of their lives. If you look on their chart, you can see they're having a transit, and what they're being asked to do is retain a spiritual priority. And if they could retain that spiritual priority and meditate and center themselves and remember once again how important they are, the problem that we have is we make things on earth outside the spirit more important than ourselves. Like, oh, wow, look at my car. I finally got the Rolls Royce. Boom, it's stolen. Nervous breakdown, right? Or look, I finally got the boat or the plane. People work their whole lives, take hundreds of thousands of dollars, buy a house, buy a car, buy a boat. Here comes a mudslide or a storm or a fire in Los Angeles. It's gone. And that's the way life works. You got to be careful what you put import into. Whatever you signify and emphasize, especially your own families, even becoming obsessed with your children, your husbands, your wife, we start to become such fans of things in our lives that we don't realize the way the universe works, the way we are tested, the way karma comes down, is once we place so much importance in something beyond our own spirit, that is when it is taken away from us. And it usually occurs during the karma transit. You have a transit to your sun sign, right? Or a transit from the sun. Well, your identity and your father are involved. I know lots of people that lose their dads. That's right, their fathers die during heavy square and opposition transits to the sun in their chart. Same with the moon. Something happens with mom. Are you emotionally? And you know, you got to say to yourself, what is it that's driving me crazy emotionally? I got to let go of this stuff. Well, why am I so worried? Pluto's on my moon. I've already got four squares on my moon and my natal. Now Pluto's on my moon in Scorpio, and I could be an emotional wreck right now. But I'm going to understand that I'm having a transit circuit, and I'm going to let it go. I'm going to try that much harder not to worry and not be depressed, but to have fun with this part of my life. See? Don't you get the formula? The formula is so simple. You emphasize the spirit, you retain and embrace the spiritual priority, and you rise above it. You rise above it all, the entire material plane, including all the astrological effects, all the metaphysical effects. You become your God self, your higher self, your Christ self. And once again, you got to ask yourself, is Jesus Christ the type of person that would want to have a love affair with Mary Magdalene? Or would he be able to retain a spiritual priority and just say no? What great symbolism in The Last Temptation of Christ, huh? Anyway, I have to go see that movie. I've heard so much about it. I guess maybe I was there. I don't know. I'm going to give a brief definition once again of what the planetary meanings are, so somehow you can understand house-wise and planetary-wise what type of karma can be coming down on you in case you are having a transit karma. At this point, I would like to recommend that if you are an advanced student of astrology, you should send for our transit forecast reports. Meanwhile, I'm Farley. Welcome to the Astrology Hour KFOX 2-Hour Expanded Edition, 93.5 FM in Redondo Beach, no matter where you are in Southern California. Happy Valentine's Day from Farley, your adorable Leo lion, the lion. And welcome to Advanced Astrology. Isn't it hot? Pretty intense stuff. If you're a new listener, good luck, right? I was there once. I was to this stuff once. Blew me away. I thought, what are they talking about? I don't know what they're talking about. You know? I don't know. But anyway, you know, just remember the key words to the planets. And if you're having a square or an opposition transit, just plug into those key words, right? You know, sun, identity, and father, moon, emotions, and mother, mercury, anxiety, psychology, brothers and sisters. It's basically your mind, mental effects. This identifies what you're hanging on to, where the obsession is, or where the selfishness is, or where the karma is. Venus, women and money. Mars, men and health. Jupiter, philosophy and freedom. Saturn, now that's the planet of karma. So if you're going through a Saturn square, or a Saturn opposition, or even a Saturn in conjunct, you better believe you're being shown a major lesson. And the soul cannot be allowed to grow, expand, or evolve until the karma is identified and absolved. Let go of, process. You don't grow until you finally find out what's pulling you away from your own spirit. See, if you're involved in a situation that's not threatening your own self-esteem or your own spiritual potential, if you are not donating or investing personal power into any one project, see, that's what happens. When you give away your power and you say that this thing is more important than my spirit, that's when you could be creating a karma. Because you got to retain that spiritual priority to be at the higher self. See, if you give away that spiritual priority, you start getting back to the darkness and the lower self again. That's when you get all upset and the whole machine starts breaking down. Uranus, the key words are friends and goals and shockers and breakups and divorces. Neptune is delusion, deception, disappointment, manipulation, lying, and religious difficulties or problems. And Pluto is stubbornness, transition, regeneration, reproduction, sex, life, and death. Now, you might be having also a transit through one of your 12 houses. I'm going to give you the key words for all the 12 houses to include in this topic so you have them. Because if you're having a square or an opposition from a planet going through one of your houses, it might help knowing what house it's in to understand what situation is going on that could be affecting your life. And all I can say is pick up either Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith or Astrology for Yourself by Block and George to catch up on this type of stuff so you know what I'm talking about. If you have this show on tape, you should save it because when you listen to it one day, it will make sense. Trust me. The first house is the self, the personality, the appearance, and the childhood. The second house are once again the money, the values, and what anything in life is worth. The third house, once again, is the psychological makeup of the child, the mental foundation, if any, and brothers and sisters' input. The fourth house is the home, the residence, emotional security, and the mother again. The fifth house is family, children, creativity, innovation, leadership, authority. The sixth house is your health and work factor area, also details analysis and pets. The seventh house would be love, marriage, and partners, also balance and negotiation or justice. The eighth house is life and death, rebirth, transformation, sex, the occult, and intimate relationships. The ninth house would be freedom, travel, foreigners, higher education, higher philosophy. Tenth house, career, ambition, success factors. See, you can get obsessed in all this stuff. It's important to know it. The 11th house is goals and friends, humanity, and science and technology. And the 12th house is the spirit. Also enemies, deception, and illusion, delusion, God in the 12th. Okay? There's a hot topic for you.